What are the teacher's beliefs? Like, hey, when you meet the teacher on Monday, what's her gender belief?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Ask that simple question. It will answer all of my questions.
Well, what you're saying, like you're commenting on, that's social commentary to some degree, but it's not. What you're really saying is this a reasonable person?
Let's go.
Welcome to Citizen. We have a very special show live from Las Vegas. Dr. Brian Goldstein, tell me about yourself.
Which aspect of my life?
Well, tell me where you're from.
Los Angeles.
Like originally from LA? What part?
Like the heart of LA.
Born
and raised.
How was that?
Now it's kind of sketchy.
Well, now, yeah, but growing up it was different. How old are you?
I'm 36.
36. So post smog, right?
Post smog. Smog's been pretty good.
For the most part.
And
there were the good years, I think, from like, what would you say, 98 to 2010 maybe? 2012 even.
As late I'll as push as far as 2012.
Yeah. But then it started to like
then it started rapidly. To like slide. Like my ex-wife was LAPD, so I got to see a lot of stuff that most people wouldn't see. And traffic's always going to be traffic.
Yeah, I don't care. People that complain about traffic who haven't lived or worked in LA, I don't listen to anything they fucking say.
Yeah,
like, that's like, not traffic.
I just calculate it's going to take me an hour to get where I'm going to be.
That's why nobody goes to watch Angels games. Because it's 20 miles away, but it's fucking 45.
For me, that's like 2 hours.
Yeah, it's like 45 minutes at a minimum from the city to get there. If you're in the southern part, right?
Yeah. Games are always at prime time, so you're screwed.
Yeah.
But, you know, we got good comedy, good entertainment. We had a lot of amazing restaurants, but now, like, with everything going on, they've slipped off.
Yeah, what's going on with that? I mean, I know a lot of retail stores have left.
Retail stores, restaurants.
Seattle, Portland, LA, a bunch of places. Chicago's another one.
Dude, people are allowed to steal up to $1,000 in LA County and walk out.
Well, that's a Canadian thing. We stole that from them, you know. They did that, like, 15 years ago. Theft under 1,000 became a citation, not even a misdemeanor.
Oh, no. LA, it's not even a citation. It's
Now it's like I guess we did take it one step farther.
Yeah.
Further, rather.
And then getting a CCW is easier now, but the wait's like a year.
Who is it? Is it still up to the sheriff there, or how's it work?
Depending on where you live, it's either the sheriff or LAPD.
Mm.
So if you're out of, I forget the exact word.
Like the city limits, probably.
Yeah, out of city limits.
If you're in the county, not the
then
city.
I fall under LA County Sheriff.
Mm. So you've had a pretty interesting life then, right?
Say like the least.
A lot of early entrepreneur and then some early health problems, shit like that.
I'll even take it farther back. I dealt with drug abuse, physical abuse, verbal abuse, and grew up in that. And
like from a parent, you mean?
From a parent.
Okay, yeah.
And to me, chaos is normal.
Sure.
And I think that's why I was able to succeed in business, because nothing in business is not chaotic.
Mm.
And so for me, that's the norm. That's when I feel at peace. When everything's quiet, I'm like, what the fuck's about
to happen? Well, how do you deal with that now, though? I mean, that's a problem for a lot of us vets. We get so, and I've been talking to a lot of people about this lately, not just vets, actually, people who grew up in households like that have a real hard time having constructive conversations later on that aren't combative. Like, they don't know how to communicate without it being aggressive sometimes.
So up until 2012, I'm sure similar to you, anger management issues, I'd break shit, I'd snap my phone in half and not
Kyle the wall, just punch a hole through the drywall, you know?
Yeah, and then I nailed a couple studs over the years and broke my pinky knuckle, and I'm like, all right, I'm over punching walls because I don't know if I'm going to hit a stud this time. But I discovered plant medicine in 2020 during COVID, and that really put me on a completely different trajectory.
Well, so tell me, like, I like to do thought experiments like this. So it's Tuesday, random day before, like, let's say 2018, and you face some kind of irritating situation, a hurdle, rude people, business is fucked up, employees doing dumb shit. And then after, when you get your brain adjusted a little bit, right? Tell me the difference between those two, like how your reaction between those two scenarios.
Instead of punching my computer screen or breaking my phone on my desk or just outright screaming and pounding my fist, now it's like I have, as we're talking, there's a pre-conversation, split second time.
Sure, yeah.
And it's running the two scenarios, and it's essentially saying, hey, stupid, don't go for the normal option one, go for your new option.
Yeah, that's something that we try. We're here a lot. We're here this week every year to talk about veteran suicide specifically. But that's one of the things that we harp on quite a bit, is that little gap. You know, that 5 to 10 minute window where things start to spiral, and how to be resilient against that, right? And it is a big part of it, is being able to have that internal conversation with yourself to think before you react.
100%. You know? And look, the system put me into psychiatry at a young age.
They put
my high school sent me to a certified and had me on Lexapro and all that other stuff. And one day I woke up and I was like, I threw everything in the trash.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't need this shit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I still had anger management. Mm-hmm. And after, I was probably in therapy as a kid for 10 years and didn't do anything. And I had done a bunch of fun but dumb stuff. Mm. I tore my right shoulder, herniated my low back, my neck. And so I was always in a constant pain. So I became a fat fuck.
Yeah.
And I ended up doing stem cells in Colombia, getting out of pain. And then I was like, I can't be a fat fuck anymore. I ended up doing the gastric sleeve, shaved off 110 pounds, and then discovered psilocybin shortly after that. We were in between IVF cycles. Mm. We had failed round one and two. My wife and I were in a bad place. Mm. And a friend called me. He's like, Brian, I know you don't drink, you don't do drugs, but come to my house. I'm hosting my first shaman ceremony and there'll be 22 people with you. I looked at my wife. I was like, hey, want to go do psilocybin? She's like, mushrooms? I was like, yeah. She's like,
it sounds better the way you said it.
Yeah. I was like, she's like, how much is it? I was like, $600 each. She's like, we're going to go pay $1,200 to do mushrooms. Mm-hmm. We can go buy it for $50 and do it ourselves. Yeah, I'm like, No. And I made the executive decision. I was like, fuck it, we're going. Mm. And she's like, my sister's coming to town. I'm like, I don't care. She can stay at home, watch the dogs. Mm. Well, she'll be fine. Take off early in the morning, get there. And I remember them saying, you can't eat. I was like, guys, my stomach's the size of a toddler now. I got to eat like every 2 hours. Yeah. So I eat what I could before I get there. And then I always bring snacks everywhere now. And so I remember ceremony starts. You're laying on a yoga mat, put on a blindfold. And he's like, all right, just lay back, relax, say nothing. You can't touch your partner, any of that. And I'm like, oh, nothing's fucking happening. I'm going to take a nap.
Yeah.
5 minutes in, I start seeing flashing lights in my eyes. I'm like, game on.
What kind of dose did they give you, if you don't mind me asking?
It was 3.5 grams.
Okay. That's not bad for your first time.
Yeah. Not too much, not too little. I was happy with that. And like 2 hours in, they offered you another gram if you wanted it.
Yeah.
I declined.
That's kind of how I do it, actually. I usually start with two or three and then pop in one or two more later if I feel like it, even if I'm just watching cartoons, by the way. You know, because sometimes
I took a gram and went to Halloween Horror Nights.
Oh, word. So my buddy, my co-host on my other show, Drinker Bros, did that. He and his wife took some and went to the Sphere not too long ago. Seemed like it was a pretty good idea, right? Until you walk up to those talking robots and shit. I don't know if that's
Went into Jabberwockies.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like,
Yeah, you may want to fuck out of that one.
But it felt like I traveled 100 years backwards and 100 years forwards. Mm. And every time they would change either the sound bass or the music, you would go down a different journey, exploring different parts. And I came out of it and I was like, fuck, I got all the answers I needed. And a week later, we did combo. That sucked so bad.
Explain what you're saying
here. Combo, they burn you in multiple spots and then they put frog poison on top.
Like DMT?
No.
Like Ibogaine?
No, so this one just purges all the crap out of your
body. Okay, and that sucks, I guess.
Oh, it's like food poison. Oh, the worst food poison you've ever had for like an hour.
Oh, that's not bad. An hour.
I finally said, dude, it's coming off. Like I'm going to rub my back against the wall to get it off, or you're taking it off.
Oh, so I'm not familiar with this. So it purges you for as long as you're in contact, and then when you remove it, it kind of tapers off.
And like if you go to the Amazon and do it, they do 12 spots.
Mm.
We did it locally, it was 4. My wife ended up passing a cyst during, and we got pregnant 2 days later.
Wow, that's interesting. I never heard of that before. But, you know, nature provides, right?
It does.
It's weird that we keep trying to, one of the pieces of advice I give people about their health, like there's two very easy things you can do. One is don't eat anything that didn't exist 200 years ago. That's a pretty simple thing to do, right? And the second one is move around 10 to 15 minutes a day. That's really all you need. You don't need ball busting, fucking soul crushing workouts every day to have good vascular health, which is what you're really looking for. No fat on your organs, right? and good vascular health, and you're going to be pretty resilient against most diseases, right? Especially the ones that really kill, like heart disease.
Oh, yeah. And look, I'll take it one level farther. I was in healthcare for 17 years. You were in the military. You've been around a lot of fun chemicals. I now leave the country to go do heavy metal detoxes, chelation therapy.
That's something we've got to bring to the U.S. I mean, we have to do something.
And like, why do I have to travel to Colombia to do stem cells?
Fucking crazy. Well, there's that clinic in Dallas is starting to do it a bit now, right? But it's still like...
It's not the same.
It's low level.
Like these guys are like putting me out. They're having the x-ray there. They're going like exactly where I need.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All my friends that are athletes, they get like MRIs and x-rays. They find, they pinpoint whatever the injury, MCL, ACL, whatever the fuck, and they put stem cells right into that
spot. And
they
like... Twilight you, you're in a full-blown OR out there.
Yeah, it's wild, man.
And look, the first 36 hours suck. Mm. But after that, it's fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's just sore. I mean, it's sore as...
I would say the shoulders like truly do suck. It feels like someone hit you with a baseball bat.
Really?
Like you can't even without crying.
Mm. Well, I like to cry, so it's not a big deal.
I was like, but, you know, between doing the stem cells, doing the chelation therapy, like as long as you stay on top of your health to a certain degree, like...
For sure, yeah.
Makes a big difference.
Well, I mean, an ounce of prevention, right? I mean, we have all these adages from the last 3,000 years of Western civilization, and we're just like, ah, fuck that. And then every 100 years or so, we rediscover the Stoics and shit. It's so maddening to me that we're like, have you guys heard of this Marcus Aurelius guy? Like, yeah, everybody on Earth has heard of him, dude. What the fuck are you talking about?
Well, the funny part is even take your animals into effect. Why are so many animals getting sick now? Because of the crap we're fucking feeding them.
Yeah, there's been a lot of commercials about that I've been seeing on social media lately. One of them is like every living creature shouldn't be eating processed food, right? Like
my dog
eating
eats
your dog Purina and shit like that.
My
no
dog
offense,
eats raw
Purina, but don't eat that shit. There's a couple of good prepared foods like Mike Ritland. I don't know if you know. Do you know Mike Ritland?
I just go
on his show. He's a former Navy SEAL dog trainer.
Okay.
Like he raises high quality dogs, sells them for a lot of money, right? There's some out there. There's some food out there that's all protein.
That's what
fat,
I do. I do
right?
Steve's Real Food. Comes frozen. Yeah. I got a Doberman. He eats 6 patties a day, and that dude, his teeth are white, coat shiny, and it's the same with humans.
And their joints too. I mean, it's like all that stuff. Inflammation kills everyone. Like we're all dying from inflammation one way or another. And I don't understand why modern medicine isn't keyed in on that very much. Is there no money to be made? Because it seems like there would be.
Look, I was a pharmacist for 17 years. I lit my license on fire recently and told everybody to fly a kite. And I got tired of the FDA and the boards of pharmacy telling me what I could and couldn't do to help patients. Mm.
Like, you mean like prescribing off label and shit like that?
I was a compounder, so I was able to make injectables, eye drop, you name it, I was allowed to
make. Peptides and shit like that?
Look, on my birthday, they banned peptides. A majority of them. There's still a couple you might...
I mean, the only pharmaceutical that's even doing anything good for anybody, and you ban that one, right?
Mm-hmm. And look, I'm sure we'll find a way to get it out of the country since I'm no longer licensed. I'm not held to the same standards. I'll go get my shit somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. Mexico's not bad.
Canada's
not bad.
Like, I'm in the Middle East a lot. I'm sure I can get it over there.
Actually, UAE is great for that, yeah. Actually, Bahrain, I believe, is another good spot.
Yeah, I'll be in UAE in a week. And
Ask somebody. I don't think you need a license for anything over there.
No, you pretty much get anything just over the counter.
Yeah, so let's go back a little bit.
Yep.
You come from a problematic childhood. Mm-hmm. What's next after that? You go right into school after high school?
So my dad had lupus. Lupus and myasthenia gravis when I was in the 8th grade. So my dad couldn't even like close his hands together. He was getting blood transfusions because his white blood cells weren't producing. My dad owned pharmacies with my mom, and when they went through a nasty 15-year divorce. My dad got 2, my mom got 1. My dad ended up going to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, to help treat his disease and all that stuff. He met a nail technician, fell in love with her. The day I graduated high school, he packed up and moved out of Beverly Hills, moved to Rochester, Minnesota, started a whole new life. Threw me the keys and said, figure it out. I'm 17 fucking years old. Yeah. I got employees that are 60.
Wait, are you even allowed legally to do that? To own a pharmacy at 17? Because you can't own like a booze company at 17.
No. So I couldn't touch drugs though. I could order them.
Right.
But I couldn't touch.
I mean, I guess you could own a restaurant. You just couldn't have a liquor license. Or you could have a liquor license, but you couldn't
serve
alcohol.
Yeah, I had a DEA license, I had a state license. Okay. And I started going to school at the same time of running it. And from there, it was just trial and error. I started off with 4 employees. I ended up with 346.
What was the key for that, like the expansion? Because not every business is scalable, but commodities are always, right?
Yeah, and I think it's no different than your podcast. It's connecting with the right people and just really getting your name out there and just networking and going to events and doing things like this where a stranger walks in and you know what the fuck to expect, but you have the open mind of, hey, this is going to turn into a great conversation. Sure, yeah. This is going to turn into other networking things. And that's how I've always looked at it, paying it forward. I do a lot of shit for free that I might not cash in for 5 years.
Sure, yeah. Or ever, maybe, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes I do the same. Like, I like to... Sometimes I just want something to exist, and I don't have time for that bullshit. So I'm like, I tell somebody in the industry, I'm like, you should make this thing and make it this way. That way, 2 years from now, I can go buy it, and I don't have to fucking do any of the work. You know what
exactly.
I mean? Just put seeds out there. So you're, man, your hair must have been on fire. I mean, holy shit.
I'm three hair transplants in already.
Well, yeah. So how do you
manage all of that?
How did you manage? I guess because you're still tuned up. You're still pissed off all the time, right? Back then.
Oh,
because I know I was. Because I have a similar background. No drugs in my family necessarily, but very abusive, right? So I'm pissed off all the time.
So the way I did it was I didn't really talk to employees. I talked to a couple managers. And I hired the right people. And my whole thing is, if I'm hiring you to do a job, I will pay you very well. But I am not your babysitter.
Yeah, fuck
you. You need teaching? Hey, I will have someone teach you. I am not your teacher. And I really kept hands off from like training people. I trained managers and key pharmacists to make certain drugs because I was one who learned how to make them myself. Because pharmacy school does not teach you any of that.
Right.
But from there, it was really... I was hands-on on the marketing side, but not the day-to-day side.
I mean, most pharmacies aren't compounding pharmacies. They're
no, and it's a dying breed now.
Right? Yeah, yeah. There, a bunch of them just shut down this year. Well, 2023, oddly enough. Yeah. I don't know why. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
FDA and boards of pharmacy are stopped. Like, I think 3 years ago, they stopped us from making HCG.
What?
And look.
Wait, HCG, all it does is make you produce more natural testosterone, right? It's like to balance you out a little bit.
Correct.
Why the fuck would you ban that?
Because there's commercially available at, like 20X. And they're like, it's...
People are just taking Inclomiophen now, right?
Yeah.
Instead.
Or you could take Clomid.
Clomid, yeah.
Either or. but then, you know, HCG works great.
It's the most effective. As a matter of fact, I thought they were sublingual, if I'm not mistaken, right?
So sublingual on HCG... doesn't really work because it's temperature sensitive.
To make it
a sublingual, you got to cook it at 140°C and you've just killed the active ingredient.
Yeah. All right. That makes sense. Because I used it for a long time until it just disappeared.
Now you know why.
Inclomiophen, yeah. Right. Or Clomid.
And for me, I'm like, dude, I have a small brain tumor. My body doesn't produce any hormones. So for me, I'm taking test, HCG, Clomid.
Is it around your pituitary?
Sitting on top of it.
Oh, that's not great.
Yeah. So look, I take 4 injections a day and a handful of vitamins and pills, and I live a normal life. I look normal.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, but it's like for people, so toxic exposure fucks up your... There's so many endocrine disruptors these days.
Even in our childhoods.
Yeah, for sure. Like, we all brag about drinking out of the hose, you know what I mean, outside, but maybe we shouldn't have.
You know? I think it's still better than the water today.
Oh, yeah. Well, certainly the water coming through your tap today, yeah. but it's... There's certain groups of people that have... These endocrine disruptors we run into on a daily basis, like heavy metals, plastics, and then, you know, other toxic exposures like breathing in weird shit.
Candles. Fragrances.
Yeah.
The outgas inside of your car on a hot day.
Yeah, that Glade plug-in in your house that you think smells so nice.
Bougie $300 candle someone gifted you love.
It's all poison, right? So
your body washes.
And then there is the head injuries, right? So the veteran community, first responder community especially, gets hammered by this shit all the time at a much higher rate than the ordinary citizen. But even like the military and even the VA have done nothing to educate people on the risk of any of this stuff. They're just like, hey, good luck. And frankly, if you went to the VA before the last 2 or 3 years, if you'd gone to the VA and you're 28, you're getting out of the military after 10 years of service, right? And you say, hey, I don't feel great. Let's get my hormones checked. And you clock in at 450 test. They're like, oh, you're in the normal range, right? The normal range is 350 or whatever to like.
No, it goes as low as 150. And I remember.
That's like an 85-year-old man.
Funny story. Like, so when literally. I found out, the way I found out about the tumor is every day at 3 o'clock, I'd crash out. Just didn't fail. And then I go to the doctor. He runs my blood work. He comes back. He's like, Ryan, your test is 160. I was like, he's like, are you abusing steroids? I'm like, dude, I'm a fat fuck. I'm 220 pounds at the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you talking about? And he ends up sending me for an MRI. And I was like, how did these two go together? Mm. He's like, just trust me. And then I went down that rabbit hole of, hey, here it is. And then I went to certain endocrinologists. Mm. They're like, well, because you're fat, you have low testosterone. I'm like, my diet hasn't changed.
Mm.
There's a pituitary adenoma. Explain. And being in healthcare, like, I didn't appreciate getting ran in circles.
Yeah, I mean, mine was 180, and I was 27.
You should have been, like, low side 800.
Yeah, yeah. So I went to the doctor. They just gave me some topical cream for a while. I'm like, so the absorption rate is 25% on this, right?
No, it's higher, but, yeah, back then.
This was, like, 2012, I think.
Yeah,
like
so that. You're using Androgel or
Androgel,
one of
Androgel, I think it was, yeah. It was
rub like, it on
was,
your inner thigh or your arms.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it wasn't. It sucked, to be honest. But even that, like, I used that for about 6 months or so, and it brought me up to, like, the 400s.
Still not enough.
No. And I'm still feeling like shit. I'm like, all right, can we do something here? And they're like, well, we can't actually. We literally legally can't. So now I have to go find somewhere to. And this is before. Now it's relatively easy.
Now right? It's really easy.
Like you can find men's testosterone clinics. Peptides all over the country. But back then it was like, man, I had to go to my buddies and buy.
Underground.
Like whatever the fuck I could get my hands on. Like I had friends that were athletes. Bodybuilders, not like professional, not in the four major sports or anything, but luckily I was able to get access to it, but most people in my situation would have just been fucked, right? So I've kind of been on that train for a long time because there's no reason that you should feel like shit all the time, right? I mean, it's weird how I want to hear your thoughts on this as a pharmacist, somebody that's been in the medical field for fucking 20 years. It's so weird to me how if you felt a little bit, there's a good 20-year stretch there. If you felt a little bit of pain, remember that pain chart with the smiley faces on it? You feel a little bit of pain. Well, here's something that you will get addicted to for the rest of your life. But I feel like shit because my hormone levels are fucked up. And they're like, I'm sorry, but I can't help you. You know, there was so much willingness to get you addicted to shit. And I think maybe that's the answer, but I'd like to hear your fucking opinion.
Well, so I remember a pain management doctor years ago. And this is before fentanyl became a problem. Mm. And I'd be like, hey, doc, like, dude, you're prescribing 1,600 micrograms, 240 lollipops a month. Like,
how? 240 a month?
Yes. Oh, plus oxy, plus other
God
stuff.
God damn.
And I looked at him. I'm like, Jason, how am I justifying this to the DEA?
Yeah.
And he looks at me with a square face. He's like, Brian, I started Joe here.
Mm.
Unfortunately, the sky is the limit once they build tolerance and tolerance and tolerance. And I'm like, you're joking, right? That's what you want me to tell the DEA? Mm-hmm. And sure shit, over time, I got phone calls from the DEA. And I was like, here's the report from him saying that. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, we agree. But then all this stuff starts happening with Purdue mm-hmm. and Oxy and all that stuff. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, we're limiting what you can buy. The wholesalers start cutting you off. And I'm like, well, look, technically, it's not my problem. But for the guy that's hooked to it, that you got hooked, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And they didn't have an answer. Suboxone for a half a second, and that kind of disappeared.
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of went away. What happened with that?
It showed up one day, and it's just as addictive as everything else. Yeah.
That's so weird. I mean, a methadone was around for a good 20 years, too, and it did the same thing, more or less. I remember when all those, like the early 2010s, all these pain clinics started popping up. I'm like, a pain clinic? What the fuck does that mean? Because it sounds like a fucking trap house.
And my problem,
you know what I mean?
Essentially was, my problem was, I got really good at reading people. Because they'd come in and they'd act a little shifty. And then they were getting the same paper and going to the printers and having them print everything the same but changing the phone number.
Mm.
And so you'd call and verify. Be like, this doesn't feel right.
Mm.
I go on Google, check. I'm like, phone numbers. Hey, did you write a script for blah? No, that's a stolen prescription pad. And that was like a big problem. And I'm like, well, and this is before like discrimination really became a thing recently. Mm. And I'm like, yo, I'm not filling it. And people would be like, you have to fill it. I'm like, no, per California law, like, I don't have to. And people are like, you're going to turn down money? I was like, I'm going to turn down money over a punishment from the DEA.
Fuck yeah, dude. I'm
like,
not trying to get
you guys out of your fucking tree.
Yeah. So we fed people all these pills. And look, I mean, so many of my buddies, I've had, we'll talk about this on Wednesday for sure about, and during the panel on veteran suicide, but, the number that they tell people, this 22 a day, the VA says 17, that's wrong. 22 a day. A new study came out a couple years ago that said 24. The real number is about 40 to 44 a day, right? Because we're counting suicide by cop now. We're counting people who overdose on drugs and alcohol after being fucking hooked on the shit for years. So we have a real number, and it's a lot more like 40. And it's like, let's say 5 9/11s per year, basically, right? We spent $8 trillion with a T dollars on the GWAT, the Global War on Terror. And we're losing almost five times that many soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines every fucking year.
And we have
no emphasis. We're not doing a goddamn thing for them. No. So, I mean, the way you recounted is exactly right. We get these people hooked on the drug, then we rip the carpet out from under them, and they went out to the street, heroin and fentanyl, right? And now we had, 85,000 fucking fentanyl ODs last year? 85,000 people died from ODs last year. This episode is brought to you by GhostBed.com/DrinkItBros. GhostBed. It's the best bed in the world. It's the most comfortable. Sheets, pillows, the whole thing. I've got them all, man. And, you know, they wanted to extend their best possible offer to Drink It Bros. They've been with us for a very long time. So this is the email they sent us. We want Drink It Bros to get the best offer, so I updated the code for 50% site-wide. That's 50%. Site-wide, use the code Drinkin' Bros with no G, for 50% off site-wide. Everything that you buy on this site is going to be 50% off. Again, they got the best pillows, sheets, mattresses. They got the mattress protector. If you're sloppy and spill things and you don't want to jack up your mattress, they have pretty much everything you need. They've got weighted blankets now. They've got the adjustable base, which we really like. I've got one in my home. So go to ghostbed.com/drinkitbros. Use the code drinkitbros for 50% off site-wide. And don't forget about their pay-as-you-go plan. If you're with approved credit, you're going to be able to pay this thing off over the course of 3 to 5 years for $25 to $35 a month. It's nothing. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkitbros today and use the code drinkitbros for 50% off. This episode is also brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee. .com, the best coffee in the world. As a matter of fact, they won both the gold and bronze medal at the Golden Bean Awards this year for their exclusive coffee club entries in the elite category. So the best coffee on earth literally was Circus Bear by Black Rifle, one of their ECS. So I recommend that you go sign up for the Black Rifle Coffee Club. Use the code CITIZEN. You're going to get those points off. And, you know, you get all the benefits for being in the coffee club. You get the free shipping. You get access to all the partner deals. You get access to the exclusive coffee club. You get access to any new products that come out before anybody else does. You know, it's a very large club that they have over there. And the coffees are premium. Every single one of them is good. You're going to get experience for – you can do just the plain coffee club. And if you want your two bags of espresso or your two bags – of silencer smooth or whatever it is you drink, you can get those two bags or one bag or whatever you want every month, or rather you can use the ECS, the exclusive coffee club, and get access to some of the most premium coffees on the planet and kind of learn what it is that you like. You know what I mean? So then you can order those premium coffees from Black Rifle as well. So, and we all know they got the best branding, the best merch, and they're buddies. You know, we're all friends here. We love Black Rifle. So go to blackriflecoffee.com, sign up for the coffee club, or buy something, do whatever you want. Use the code CITIZEN, you're going to get those points off.
Not to go too down the political rabbit hole, but I feel like there's a blind eye being turned to stuff. How the hell is there this much of it ending up here?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's, 2.5 million people a year crossing the border illegally and just staying, so I'm sure the drugs are getting through. The drugs will always get through. Let's be real about that.
Yeah, though. It's never stopped.
Right.
They put up these claims, oh, we caught this. Yeah, that's what you caught. What about what you let through?
Yeah. Yeah, it's wild, man. I mean, from your perspective in the industry, what's to be done about this? You know what I mean?
My honest opinion that I'm no longer licensed is more plant medicine for people. Mm. Ayahuasca being a thing.
Mm. But yeah, they're scared of that shit because you don't have to fucking do it every day.
No, you know you do it once every 6 months. Yeah. If like you're, and look, some people sit for 5-6 days because they're dealing with shit.
Sure, yeah.
And if
yeah.
these, you know, all the vet, 44 people a day are taking their own lives.
Yeah.
If those 44 people every day sat for 6 days, fuck, and that bought them 6 more months.
Sure, yeah.
What's the cost? $200?
It's nothing, dude. I mean, even if they did the full on trip to Peru, it's maybe, let's say, $5,000 a year per customer, which is way less than what we spend.
Which is cheaper than the VA bills.
Way, way cheaper. I mean, you're talking about somewhere between $17,000 and $80,000 a year for those VA bills, right? That's what it costs the government.
And we could subsidize that to a fraction.
Yes, yeah. But, you know, somebody's getting paid somewhere. That's always the case.
Yeah, and like, look, even microdosing mushrooms, not even doing a full trip, is enough to cut the edge to bring someone back to okay.
Yeah, it's just like, we would call it creating standoff, right? Like when I build an observation point or a fortified position, I need standoff. I need to be able to see the enemy from as far away as possible. You need to do that in your own life too, right? It's that thing we that you're hearing about more and more now, delayed gratification. We've lost that fucking connection between effort and outcome now, right? Like we just want it. I want it now. I'm in pain. I need a pill now for that pain. Okay, well maybe you go stretch a little bit, right? Maybe you go fucking move around a little bit. Maybe change your diet because you're inflamed as fuck and that's making it worse. Maybe you won't even notice that pain tomorrow, right? But I need it today, so.
And people, I don't know, social media has definitely made it worse. Everybody thinks they're not doing good enough or not trying hard enough. And
you got kids, right?
I got a 2-year-old.
Okay, so when our parents, when we were young and our parents, I like to ask people this who are in the same general age group as me and before them as well. I think one of the things about having kids was I want to give my kids a better life than I had, right? Mm-hmm. That's a reasonable thing to do. We've not defined what better means for our generation because I don't know that I can give my kids a better life than I have, frankly. I built a very good life for myself. It's dope as shit. I don't know how, like, in the traditional sense, better, like access to good food, access to education, to capital, whatever the fuck, right? Safety, just being safe in general. I'm in the top 1% of that. So we need to start reevaluating what we mean when we say give our kids a better life, because it's mostly going to be separation from all of this bullshit.
I grew up a very plush life. Doesn't mean I had a great childhood.
Fair enough. Yes.
And with my daughter, like, I don't like to buy her whatever she wants, but I will buy, like, there's a jungle gym sitting in my living room because I want her to play all the time rather than watch TV. And I want her eating good food and staying away from food coloring and all that other stuff. My parents let me eat whatever I want.
Well.
And I want her to be active. I want her to beat up my Doberman. Like, I want her to not be afraid of certain things and just be outside. And you want to run outside naked and jump in the pool when it's 40 degrees outside? Go for it, kid.
Yeah.
I'll wait until your lips turn purple and then we're done.
Yeah.
And I think people forgot how to just let go and be in the moment. Everybody's so entrapped with
chasing it, man. They're chasing the dragon. There's a reason they call it chasing and not catching the dragon, by the way.
Because you're never going to
catch that bitch, ever. Like, the chase never ends. Why would you want to do that?
No. And people, so I guess the answer to the question, money doesn't fix it. It's the quality time with your child. It's the conversations. It's the sitting there and teaching them just little things.
Yeah, and you know, I think when you do, like, so that when you behave that way with your kids, they do learn the difference between expectation and outcome, which is important, right? We've grown to a point of comfort in Western society now where we expect a certain outcome, which is a weird thing to do, right? Like, I don't think the gold miners that went out to California back in the 1840s were like, oh, I mean, they thought, hey, we're going to go out there and maybe strike it rich. But they were like, I'm entitled to strike it rich. And if I don't, some racist is to blame for this or whatever the fuck they would have said, right? We have a generation or two now of people that think that way to some degree. And it's because, I don't know that, I want to say that you should withhold things from your children. That's not the point. But it is like, there has to be some association between effort and outcome, right?
Correct.
And so how do you fucking hammer that home? Like, it's people tried, like, set up a little bank account for the kid or a checking account with a little debit card when they're a teenager. Like, you work, do your chores, and I'll put some money in that account or whatever. But that's like way too late.
You got to start at a two to seven age period. Yeah, and I'm like at that critical point right now, and everybody's like, "Hey, are you going to put your kid in preschool? This, this, and that." And I chose to not vaccinate. We chose to do a home birth, and so in California, my kid's not allowed to go to regular school because she's not vaccinated.
Well, she's not missing much.
She's not missing anything, and especially not she in gets California. Sick way less than everybody else. But we're going to start a pod with like-minded people. And, you know, I looked at the curriculum. I was talking about it with my wife yesterday, and just what are the next steps and how is this pod going to go? What are the teacher's beliefs? Like, hey, when you meet the teacher on Monday, what's her gender belief?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Ask that simple question. It will answer all of my
questions. What you're saying, like you're commenting on that's social commentary to some degree, but it's not. What you're really saying is this a reasonable person?
Correct.
Right. Does this person recognize just basic fucking science for the last gajillion years, or are they a crazy person? Not just a crazy person, but somebody who's weak and susceptible to nonsense.
Correct. And I don't want my daughter, like my daughter's very strong willed, and I don't want her to lose that. And I know if I put her in the system, she'll lose it. They'll take it away. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the point of it, right? I was talking about that this morning. It's like the whole school system was set up in the early part of the 20th century to produce factory workers, worker bees. It's like, what does it mean to be a good student? Quiet, like you do what you're told, and you fucking do your work.
And you get straight A's and you follow it to a T.
And then you do work. This is what my buddy Gerard Michaels has been talking about this a lot lately. Homework is fucking bullshit. We're teaching kids that the 9 to 5 that they give to the school is not enough, right? The 9 to 5 you get to the business, so now you got to work from home too. You know what I mean?
And look, when school was created to now, nothing's changed.
Yeah.
It's still the same crap. And it's funny now that I think outside of the box, talking with guys like Tim and everybody else who he started his own school.
Yeah.
Kids don't need to spend 8 hours in a school.
No, it's crazy. I mean, maybe they need, maybe at because of the way society functions, we need them to be active for 8 hours a day like that.
That I 100%.
But 3 or 4 hours of that could be fucking outside, starting fires and building campfires, building a campsite, learning things or whatever the fuck.
5 hours of outdoor, like practical shit, and 3 hours of curriculum in a creative space, not sitting at a desk hearing. Sure,
Well, it's funny you say 5 and 3 because that's how it worked out in the professional workspace during the lockdowns, right? We found that people were getting the same work efficiency out of 3 hours of work a day that they got out of 8 in the office. Why is that, right? Contact switching. There's a lot of reasons that that happened, but mostly it was because you never should have been there for 8 hours in the fucking first place. You tell me, like we build weak people. When you have uniform standards are good. That's not what I mean. But when you cater to the lowest common denominator, that's what you're going to fucking get out of the most amount of people, that you're going to train people to do the least amount possible. Now, if you tell your employee or your child or whomever else, here's what I expect. I expect this much of it, and I expect it at this time, and this is the quality I expect it at. That's what they'll give you every time, right? And they'll do it in shorter and shorter time, more efficiently, because they want their own fucking time back.
Yeah.
So and this is true with politics as well. The more power you return back to the individual, the better everybody fucking does. That is a true statement for every civilization in all of human history.
But they're also breaking up households now. They want both parents to work. They want the kid in school. So who's raising your kid? The nanny, the school,
TV,
you know, and
fucking YouTube, right? Google.
Bro. Like, I never really paid attention to YouTube, and I'm watching kids' YouTube, and I'm like, holy shit.
Then all of a sudden, it jumps to the next video, and it's some weird-ass bullshit. You're like, what the fuck? How is this possible?
Oh, I've wanted to, like, throw the iPad in the pool and be like, dude, we're done.
It's weird. Like, some of my friends with young kids who actually still, and there aren't many of them, but the ones that actually still allow them to watch YouTube at all have, all like, they build playlists, and you can only watch these, right? That's it.
And they lock out everything else.
Yeah, that's the only way you can really do it, which is fucking sad, to be honest. But it is kind of telling, too, because there's only one reason that they would be coming after kids with programming like that, right?
Because they feel like they've lost control.
Yeah. I mean, or they want more of it, right? It's always about that control. And that's somebody that wants control over your family other than you, if you're a fucking man, that's gotta make you feel some kind of way, right?
Oh, it's going to make you definitely feel some kind of way.
I don't know how I'm going to handle that yet, but it's probably not going to be great for the person who tries.
Look, I think you being in Austin close to Tim's school kind of helps.
That helps, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I wish I had that down the street.
Well, I mean, I think he's franchising now, so maybe when you do your little pod, you pop up an Apogee.
Well, he's trying to convince me to move by you guys.
You probably should. California fucking sucks, dude.
I got to settle a couple affairs, and I'm out. Yeah. Especially, look, I'm on the road 3 weeks a month.
You and Callan are two of the last dudes I know that even fucking live in California anymore.
Dude, Callan, funny enough, Callan's studio is like 4 blocks from mine, and we keep like missing each other on setting something up.
Well, we've been trying to get him out there too. I think we're going to break him at some point. We'll see. But it's like we're starting to redistribute ourselves around the country again, which is good and bad, I guess. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens out there. Once all the people that pay taxes are gone, right? Because they're like fucking $40 billion in debt now. And they took a $2 billion surplus and turned it into $40 billion in debt in 2.5 years. How's that work? I'm not in California. I used to live in Oakland. I'm not there anymore.
We had $32 billion in EDD fraud.
Oh shit! Really? And what? Like in 2 years? Yeah. I guess over COVID that makes sense.
There's most of your deficit right there.
Well, maybe you should, just check IDs. That seems normal. You know?
When was the last time you walked into a store where they checked your ID with your credit card?
Yeah, never.
With Apple Pay now, they don't even look.
At the airport, I think, is the only place, actually.
Airport and the gun store.
Maybe the odd hotel here and there. Here in Vegas, they do, because they're worried about fraud.
Actually, every hotel makes me show ID when I check in.
But, yeah, gun store, airport, hotel, that's it. Yeah. Weird. We don't do it with voting, obviously, because, what's the worst that could happen?
No, and like funny enough, like in the UAE, when you get a phone and you have your Visa, they actually take that card and pop it in, and it's got to read the SIM chip, and your fingerprint has to match what's on your Visa in order to get a telephone number there.
Hmm. Interesting. That's, we're I don't know what we're doing here. It seems like just some of it is just generalized societal decay. People get comfortable and they look for problems to solve that don't exist. I'm sure that's a big part of it. But a lot of it feels quite a bit more nefarious. It sounded very conspiratorial back in the early 2000s when Alex Jones was going on and on about the Bilderberg Group and Davos, like the World Economic Forum and shit. It was like, come on, man, relax. It's just, fair enough. It's assholes doing asshole stuff, but that's always happened. But it's taken a weird turn. Digital life has made it quite a bit easier for people to get to wrap control around large groups of folks. You know what I mean? So
it's, and look, and then the food.
Yeah. Well, that's been going on for almost, 75 years? Since the 50s, at least, in America. Yep.
But now I feel like it's gotten bad.
Yeah, well, it's, what's one of my favorite things about this discussion about food, especially in America, is like, the baby formula we produce is illegal everywhere but here. Why? That's not a good sign usually, right? Well, and then the best baby formula in the world, which I believe comes from the UK, is banned here.
Correct. And it gets smuggled in. And
of course.
The funny part is, why do we shame breastfeeding?
I don't know, man.
And my wife, kudos to her. She breastfed my kid for 2 years and 4 months. Everybody would shame her. Why are you still doing that? And I'm like, dude, everybody's like, oh, you don't want to do a home birth. It's going to be a shit show, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, the birth start to finish was 3 hours.
Louis C.K. does a great, or not, it's not Louis C.K. Who is it? Jim Gaffigan. He's like, oh, I don't want to, I'm weird because I don't want to have my child be born at the place where all the sick people are. Maybe I'm not weird. Maybe you're weird, you know? I don't get the stuff around, they just want to sell products, I would imagine, right? Like, I always wonder, these studies that come out that say this is dangerous, that's dangerous. Find out who funded it, probably, right? That's a good place to start. Because I'm deeply suspicious of, especially pharmaceutical companies, but Big Ag is like that, too. Food's like that, too. I mean, I wish people would understand what's going on with our food right now, that 90% of our chicken comes from Brazil. We have no idea what the fuck's in it.
And right? We bleach it.
Bleach the fuck out of it. Bleaching our meat, then painting it back with fucking carbon monoxide to make it red again. What the fuck are we doing? Like, there's no way that that's necessary.
No, and I spend a lot of time abroad, and I'm just, every time I'm out, I'm like, dude, the food just tastes so much cleaner outside this country.
Yeah. The only time I don't eat the food that I cook myself usually is when I'm on the road, to be honest. Like, I just don't even bother anymore because you never know. Even nice restaurants, you're like, all right, that's
not suspicious. For me, it's a ribeye or two a day now. Mm.
Yeah, I rock two ribeyes at night. Usually that's my general dinner. I'll switch it up sometime, but you know, if you get good fat, it works. I don't. This is another part of the diet thing that's weird to me. Like, we went full on low fat, high sugar. Explain to people why that's fucking stupid, if you don't mind.
Sugar turns to carbohydrates anyways. You don't want to fuel your body on that. And then you're adding the inflammation. And we can go really techie on it, but that's the short version. It's like, everybody looks at me funny, like, because of the small stomach, I have to choose protein or carbs or sides, even water. And I cook a ribeye every day, chop it up on my counter, and I'll eat 6-8 ounces. Mm. 8 is pushing, or probably 6. And that's it. I'm done. Everybody's like, you're not going to have a side? You're not going to have broccoli? I'm like, no, I'm not. I don't even put butter.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, your broccoli doesn't do any, you're not getting anything out of that.
No.
Your body can't break that shit down.
Body, like, can't break down most
we're not,
of it.
We're not ruminant animals. We don't have 4 stomachs, right? So I'm not eating green shit. Sorry. I mean, I like it. I actually like the taste of it. I like all of it.
I like a salad here and there. Don't get me wrong, but
it's fucking pointless, though, for the most part.
Yeah, like, I try and get my 80 grams a day of protein, and I got to figure out how to get it in with a small stomach.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. Don't drink your calories if you can help it. You know, that's a good rule of thumb. And if you're especially if you're on a limited calorie diet, you got to get the right stuff in there. I mean, if you're not eating fat, then you're not getting any nutrients at all. That's why everybody in the South, after these low fat diets, they're obese and malnourished at the same time.
Look, I went full keto before I did the stomach surgery, and my cholesterol was the best it's ever been. Mm. Like, all of my levels were amazing, and you know, it's high fat protein.
Well, we found recently that the so-called bad protein or bad cholesterol, that's not even a thing. That's that they just made that shit up entirely. What the fuck? Like, who's getting sued for this shit? The government literally commissioned studies and then put it out to people that a certain kind of cholesterol is bad for you, like you'll die from it, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not true. It's demonstrably untrue. They're still saying it. So what the fuck? I mean, who's doing something about that?
Big pharma and big ag.
God damn it. Well, we bitched long enough. Let's talk about some good stuff before I lose my goddamn mind. What else? What do you got going on now?
Writing a book that should be done, I'd say, middle of next month. Mm. And then have the edit team tweak it and do all of that.
When are you trying to publish?
When?
When, yeah.
Q3.
Mm, sweet. What's the book?
My life story, going through all the fun and the hardship, and then just really giving people golden nuggets of, I don't give a shit how you grew up. You can still be successful. You can still have the life you want.
Yeah.
You got to shift your mindset and shift the people around you.
And how do you do that? I mean, like, from, like, what was it that clicked for you? Because for me, it was just like
cutting people out of my life, family. Yeah.
Personal responsibility. Like, I'm the author of this.
Like, I'm responsible for everything.
Everybody talks about be the main character in your own fucking life. Okay, that's fine. Take some fucking responsibility, though. But like, don't just walk around like you're entitled to everything. Big shot guy.
Exactly. And I'm responsible for everything in my life, good, bad, or ugly. Mm. Everything that I'm dealing with, whatever I did, I gathered that energy, and that's why it's in front of me at that time.
And you got to, that permeates through pretty much everything you do, too.
And how you do one thing is how you do everything.
Well, that's Greg Hurwitz, right? How you do anything is how you do everything. He's one of my favorite authors. So are you still working in medicine at all?
I consult here and there out of California. Mm. For people that want to go back into California, I'm like, you're out of your mind. But I'll give you the tips along the way. But now it's just helping companies with branding and focusing on some investments I have and just growing the podcast, growing content, and just getting my name more out there and really sharing all that business knowledge I have. Because I got tons of it to help people. It's just, I've always just, I don't know, like one of our mutual friends likes to say, I'm too humble sometimes, and I don't share certain information when I should be.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a problem for me too. I'm not a good self-promoter. I don't know how to do that. Like, I don't, that, it doesn't occur to me to do it.
That's
weird
to people like us.
Yeah. It doesn't occur to me. It's like, I'm just doing the fucking job, man. But it is good to have your buddy walking around filming shit. Like, you need somebody. You need an Instagram husband. You know what I mean?
Essentially. And it's like, look, when I'm in the moment doing something, I want to have this conversation with you and not worry about, hey, I need some B-roll clips. I need this. Yeah, yeah. And yeah. Jay knows, like, hey, record everything, even if we throw away 90% of it. Yeah. And there's certain moments that you can't reproduce.
Yeah, that's 100% true. And you can't do the work properly unless you're in the moment either. Like, correct. You got to be present. The only this is, I really try to fucking hammer this home with people. The only time that exists is right now. Like, that shit that happened before, that doesn't exist anymore. That's something you can think about, I guess. You can reference it in the same way that you look at a history book. But that shit's over, right? Tomorrow is like, be ready for it, but don't sacrifice today, because you don't even know if that shit's coming, right? Like,
you're not promised.
No, you've got to do today. And I, like, for people that have fucked up lives, sometimes it gets tough. You know what I mean? And I think people that are in, that cycle of suicidal ideation specifically, have a real problem looking towards the future. You know what I mean? They look to the future and don't see anything. You know what I mean? Like, you and I, you look to see your fucking, maybe another kid, maybe your kids graduating, get married, whatever the fuck. Or, you know,
yeah,
stuff
I'm planning
that
10, 20 years out.
Right, yeah. But you're like, you make your plan for 20 years out and then work backwards, and it starts at day one, right?
Correct.
So you're back with, like, your action is all.
And I think that's what a lot of people, they're like, oh, I want this. What's your timeline on it, and how are you going to work into it?
I try to tell, yeah, that's one of the pieces of advice I give people who are struggling like that. It's like, you got to create some manageable goals. Get some wins. Like, create manageable goals. This is where I want to be. Forget about, like, where I want to be 5 or 10 years from now. Here's where I want to be. Then you can break up the time increments. What's going to take this line to do this, probably, right? Maybe you're ahead or behind schedule at some point, but it's ultimately about getting where you want to be, I think.
I think the most simplest version is, we use GPS to figure out time to get somewhere.
Right.
Why aren't you doing that with your real life? What's your GPS to get to that goal?
That's a good way to put it. But we have a hard time with that. I don't know why. Just being distracted, maybe, you know?
Way too many distractions.
Chasing dopamine all the time. Dopamine, short burn.
Look, we're in Vegas. Ton of dopamine.
Yeah. There's a lot of flashing lights downstairs.
You got food, shows, gambling, you name it.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do with your kid to keep her focused in the modern world, man? I mean, it's like, we were latchkey kids, right?
Yep.
Left home with the TV. Luckily, for the most part of it, there were only 3 channels, so it could only get so bad, right? But then,
dude, I was outdoors most of the time. Like,
yeah, same.
Hurting myself.
Because it sucked.
Yeah.
Like, fucking daytime broadcast TV was like Maury Povich. I'm like, I don't want to watch this.
I
want to
be home.
Yeah.
Because of the abuse and everything. I'm like, fuck this.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
And that's the main reason I want out of California. I want my kid to be able to just play outside and have fun and do her thing and play in dirt and not give a shit and not have to worry about what she's doing.
Yeah. And once she does go, I guess you got to be careful about going to school. Now, one of the problems I've heard from friends of mine who have children, like, I can keep my kid away from screens to a certain point, but then they go to school and all their friends are watching that stuff. So
that's why I like the pod, because then it's four students and it can be, you know, I can sit in, her mom can sit in, and we can monitor it whenever we want at any time.
Yeah. And then, you know,
and control food.
There's also something about that keeping up with the Joneses bullshit starts super early. Like, we think that's something that happens later on in life.
No, it starts out the gate.
And it's weird, like, the in-out groups that get created. But that's how nature works, man. Like, fucking, if there's a bunch of tigers in the room and a bigger tiger comes in, there's going to be a confrontation. And then it'll get settled, and that'll be the end of it, right?
Yep.
Until later. But we don't do that anymore. This risk-averse nature we have, not letting kids go outside, letting them interact and take managed risk with other kids. We've created a real generation of pussies, and it manifests itself in some really bad ways. So I think there is a suicide epidemic outside of the military now.
Huge. Kids are getting bullied.
It's touching people that it never has before. I know that there was that Netflix series about that girl that killed herself or whatever a while back, a couple years ago, right? That was super popular. Mm-hmm. But females, teenagers, do not kill themselves very frequently. It's very rare. It's the rarest of all the groups, I believe. But it is the fastest growing subset of suicide now.
Well, yeah, and look, we have OnlyFans now, and kids' parents are on there, and then kids are getting bullied for it.
Yeah, that's probably not great. That's probably not
great. And a couple of kids, I read the articles, they offed themselves because they got bullied. Their mom was on there.
Yeah.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I mean, it matters what you do, I suppose. And then I think a big part of it is they don't know how, like, if you can't deal with confrontation interpersonally between other people, then that's going to, you're going to mirror that in your own life. You're not going to be able to confront the hardship of just day-to-day life anymore, right? Mm-hmm. It's like we're removing all the calluses from the human soul.
I'll make it as simple as possible. People forgot how to have a conversation without technology.
And make some eye contact and shake somebody's fucking hand or punch them in the face or whatever, right?
I mean, look, when we were kids, you had beef with somebody, you squared off.
Yeah.
In the military, you had beef with one of your teammates, squared off.
Yeah.
Settled it.
And it was never that big of a deal. As a matter of fact, this is one I was talking about earlier too with my co-host kid on Drinking Bros. Ross's oldest son. He's in jiu-jitsu, right? Been in for a couple years now. I remember we were at this Mexican restaurant. They have a playground out back, and there's this like little fat kid bullying everybody. Bigger, he's a little bit older than everybody else, right? So just being a dick to everybody. And finally, Ross's kid looks over at Ross. He's like, what the fuck? And Ross is like, go ahead. So he fucking guillotined his ass, choked him out, you know? And the kid's dad comes over to the situation, and Ross walks over. He's like, you saw your kid being a dick, right? He's like, yeah, it is what it is. And then, you know, there was a little bit of a cooling off period, and they all, including the bully kid, just went back to playing like normal, right? It got resolved at the lowest possible level, which is where it's meant to be fucking resolved.
That's how I squared off a lot of stuff. Like, dude, win, lose, or draw. Mm. That's it. It's done.
So why don't we do that in our personal life too, right? So it's like, it isn't, we see these things as separate, but...
No, it's all the same.
We don't face confrontation interpersonally, and then we don't face confrontation internally either. It's the same thing that's happening.
No, and like, look, you see something bad happening to someone in the public, everybody just pulls out their phone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, shit, that bystander effect is older than cell phones, frankly, right? Like that Kitty Genovese story from the 50s in New York where a bunch of people surround her, or a dude stabs her, and a bunch of people surround her just watch her get stabbed to death in front of a fucking store or some shit. And... psychologists did a study on it afterwards, named it the bystander effect. Like the more people who are present, the less likely somebody is to intervene in that situation. That's very bizarre.
Very interesting study.
Until someone does, right? That when once somebody takes action and becomes the leader of that situation, everybody piles on and stops the shit from going on. But it takes one. And I think it was Andrew Jackson, he said, one man with courage makes a majority. And that's what he meant, I think, by that statement. And it's why... what people like you do, take all the fucked up shit that happened to you, right? And then also the successes and put it out there so people can see it, right? It takes, I don't know if courage is the right word, but it definitely takes some gumption to put your life on fucking display.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know. I was always taught to not show emotion because it'd be used against me. And it's a very weird thing to have conversations like this and discuss these topics because, fuck, you get it. You lived it. Most of our lives, we buried.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was no one to share it with, really. Mm-hmm. No one that wouldn't try to use it against you at some point. Or at least that's how it felt, right?
And most people... Look, I've tried explaining it to my wife, and she doesn't get it. Like, it's just hard to fathom your own parents would do that if you've never lived it.
Yeah. Yeah, and then who do you talk to? I mean, I don't know. It was... For me, I had a brother and a sister, too, but we never talked about that shit.
I never talked about it with my sister.
It was just something that was happening. You know what I mean? But we didn't... Kids, you're just trying to get through the day, I think, to be honest. Yeah, it was weird. And then, you know, even as a young adult, I'm in my 20s now, and into the military, it's like, There's no room for that shit anymore, right? So if you don't learn it in those early years, this is a big problem with us. If you don't learn how to communicate properly in those early years, and it only takes, it takes a little bit of guidance, but mostly observation. I mean, 95% of communication is nonverbal. It's all body language and shit like that. It only takes a little bit when you're young, just like learning a language, right? It's way easier when you're fucking 3 to 5 years old than it is when you're fucking 35 years old.
Dude, shit. I've tried learning Spanish a couple times.
It'll never happen, dude.
Fuck.
It'll never fucking happen. It's so much harder to learn as an adult. Like, I don't know. This is another thing that pisses me off about. This is random non sequitur, but why the fuck are we teaching foreign languages in high school? That doesn't make any goddamn sense. Yeah, it should be the, one of the first things, and then do something else. Use that time for something else. But every high school in America has a four semester requirement to graduate high school of some foreign language in high school. Like, that's stupid. I don't remember a goddamn thing I learned in high school. But definitely not the languages. What the fuck?
Look, there's a lot of stuff we learned in school, and I'm just like, yeah.
Yeah, that got deleted immediately as soon as I left. So before we get out of here, tell me about the podcast.
So it's called Truth Hurt Show. I'm sure you saw Sandlot growing up.
Oh, yeah.
Squints is my co-host.
Oh, shit, okay.
You know,
that is was he still with Wendy?
No, he's with Jennifer. Okay. Happily married. He's got 5 kids, 4 and 1 on the way.
Oh, word? Well, I mean, that's what he did in the movie, too, technically. So I guess that part's inconsistent.
Yeah. And we just bring on interesting people to talk about. We've had a bunch of relationship people on recently. We've had health gurus, just all these different things that interest both of us. And it's anyone who wants to come on, we bring on. They're like, why would you invite somebody that only has 2,000 followers?
Right.
That was actually our best episode.
Really? Well, who was that?
This guy I met coming back from Dallas. His name's Brian as well. And he owns a pest control company. Mm. It's called That Guy.
Okay.
And we were just shooting the shit, making fun of somebody. Stinky Feet. Mm. Literally, as we're walking off the plane, mentioned each other's Instagrams to each other. And then he hit me up like a week later. And we just became friendly over the time. And I was like, yo, Brian, you want to come on my podcast and just talk about your family fucking you over? His family took a $5 million business from him and forged documents. And he just said, I'm not going to fight you. I'm out.
Mm.
And he's used that energy to build an empire. And that video got 15 million views.
I'll do it.
I was like, and Brian's getting like DMs now of people wanting him to speak at schools and all this other stuff. And he's like, I didn't think anybody wanted to hear my story.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's the little things that interest me. I'm like, well, fuck, if that interests me, I've lived a very interesting life and I still want to learn about that.
Is that just your goal for the show, is to get interesting information out to people?
Yeah. Share information that we didn't have as children.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was limited for sure. yeah, I like that. I like that. Who have you had on recently that's good?
Who'd we have? We had the Dad Edge on
Monday. Yeah, Larry. Yeah, he's a great guy. Larry Hagner's one of my favorite. We've had him on the show before. He's one of my favorite, not just podcasters, but I use his stuff all the time.
I had a 35-minute call with him this morning on the way here, and he was just coaching me through some stuff.
Yeah, he's great. I mean, just the intentionality he brings to your personal relationship, specifically between you and your wife and your children,
is huge. Is
some of the best shit I've ever heard in my life, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. And look, he flew out with his kid on Monday.
The oldest boy?
No, one down, Mason.
Okay, yeah.
And I guess Mason's a big fan of Squints. And
yeah, he's a big fan of mine. He wouldn't get off the show one day because he liked the hat I was wearing or something. That kid's got some personality.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, Squints signed some baseballs for everybody back home. Awesome. And it was a great experience. And Larry was just super nice, dude.
Yeah, he's great, man. Like, really, seriously, one of my favorite people out there. Well, that's good, having people like that on, amplifying them a little bit. We got to get out of here, but tell first if there's any message you want to share with these guys, give me that, and then tell everybody where they can find you and check out your personal shit and your social media or all that stuff.
I'll leave everyone with this. The 5 people you spend the most amount of time with is who you become.
Mm.
Do what you want with that information.
Rise and fall to the level of the company you keep, right?
Exactly. And I can be found on all socials, Brian Gold, PhD. Pretty easy man to find, and Yeah, appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, thanks for coming. I really appreciate it. Looking forward to doing this panel on Wednesday. It should be a fun time.
I'm a little nervous.
I don't feel nervous, so.
I don't know. How many people do you think will be there?
Probably 150.
Okay. I thought it was going to be like closer to like 1K, and I was like,
it could be. Actually, you know what? I don't fucking know. Last year it was like 200. 150, 200, but
I'm just going to say there's going to be 20.
Yeah. I think you're supposed to picture them all in their underwear or something. That's what they used to tell us as kids.
I'll just be like, I locked with you and be like, I'm not going to look.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just going to make fun of Callan all night. That's my whole thing. So.
Or Tim. Just talk shit. He can kind of beat us up.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he could. Yeah, it's true. Well, fuck it. I guess I'll just get beat up on camera.
Yeah.
Won't be the first time. Thanks for coming, man. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you, bud.
Thank you all for listening. This has been Citizen.